The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I feel like the ISU website in that I'm technically up and running, but my God, is something wrong?
Yeah, you're beautiful, but like, does it function?
Does it function? And why is Daniil Gleichinghaus my picture? What is happening? That's kind of how I feel. That's where I'm at, is beauty over function.
Like a sequel to The Substance, where like you use the substance and then like just Daniil Gleichinghaus comes out.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about doubles. Like, nah. You have a double, but it's Daniil.
Well, that would make killing your double ever more appropriate. I'm not advocating for killing anyone. It's just jokes. It's just a deep reference to the dawn of podcasting. Don't worry about it. I'm not being serious. This is a skating podcast.
It is a skating podcast. So despite the fact that we were just talking about Daniil Gleichinghaus, we are now going to pivot and talk about figure skating.
About real figure skating. Shots fired. Well, we are kind of going to talk about him. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we are.
He's inescapable, much like The Substance. What we're talking about is Finlandia Trophy, which took place in Helsinki and was the second to last of the Grand Prix events, believe it or not. And it happened.
It did.
That's all I can say about it, is it happened. It occurred.
It did. This continues to be a fucking bananas Grand Prix series, mostly on the men's side. We are going to start with women, just for our own sanity, to like warm up and talk about something nice.
Yeah, I love to warm up and talk about something nice. And let me start this here. First ever Grand Prix medal for this beautiful woman, and first medal on the Grand Prix for Italy in women's in a hot minute, I think since like 2017 or something, which feels like a whole other year.
And it was since Carolina, whole other year, right?
Yeah, whole other era. It was a different year. It was also a different era. It was Carolina. It was 2017. But now Miss Lara Naki Gutman has done it, and she won bronze at Finlandia, and I'm so thrilled.
I'm so thrilled for her. I remember seeing her in juniors, and as we all know, I don't really follow juniors that closely, but if it's on, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I ever saw her skate in juniors, and I was like, oh, shit, Italy's got a really good woman again.
Yeah.
And this was years and years and years ago. And I think I also remembered her because one of my niece's names is Lara. So it's just like it's an uncommon name. So she's clockwise, much like the greats, Carolina Koster, that came before her, and also you. And yeah. I feel like she's really come a long way since juniors. I think if I were to have like one critique of her, it would be that I would love her to come just a little further. And specifically what I mean is I don't love the Barbie hands that she does when she jumps. Like, I just want her to relax her hands. But that's just, like, a small thing. Other than that, I love her whole vibe. I love that she does weird shit. It's not always – it's you know, it's a swing and sometimes a miss, like her Africa Vague thing from previous years. But this year, I'm really digging it. It's Squid Game, which I guess you could argue is maybe appropriation, but I don't think you could, actually.
I have not seen Squid Game, so anytime I talk about – this program, I have to be like, as someone who's just here for the vibes, I like this very much. I mean, I know the premise and everything, but I have not put myself through seeing it, so I can't really speak to that.
I mean, it's so, like, I guess, I think that it is intrinsically Korean, obviously. Like, it has a lot to do with, like, the politics and the, like, financial paradigms. Economy is the word I'm looking for. Like the economy of Korea. And like there are parallels everywhere because like capitalism is capitalism. But there's also nuances. And I'm sure there's things I didn't get as an American watching it. But it's also kind of like a sci-fi satire of capitalism, which is something we can all sort of relate to. It's also contemporary slash like question mark maybe future. And very much most of it takes place in like a very sci-fi, like they're in a game show and they all wear the same tracksuit. And so there's nothing like, aside from the people, there's nothing like super it's not super identifiably Korean because all the games in the game show are based on Korean children's rhymes and stuff. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that nobody's wearing like a hanbok. And so it's not like her doing like memoirs of a geisha as a non-Japanese person. Like, I don't know. Talk to me if you're Korean. Tell me what you think. But I think that she, especially because she's not, as far as I can tell, doing anything in her movements that's like weirdly Koreaboo-ish. I think she's just wearing a dress that references the shapes motif, like the visual motif in the show. And sometimes like the movements of the creepy robot doll. And I think she's doing well. I don't know. I think Stefan did both of her programs this year. And I
do want to talk about that because this feels so far out of Stefan's comfort zone as a choreographer. It's very like, I mean, sci-fi we keep saying, but it is not his usual, you know, classical vague, you know, melodramatic contemporary indie with respect. I was very impressed when I connected the dots that this is his work, because for her free, that doesn't strike me as that surprising, but her short program was definitely a surprise from Stefan for me.
Yeah, Sheltering Sky is always going to remind me of Daisuke, but in a good way, in a good way.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, I want to just go back for a second and clarify that I want to make sure nobody thinks that my takeaway from my like previous ramblings was that Squid Game is not essentially Korean. That's like not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think it's fun to do it, but you can disagree with me. I don't really care.
Who's not American or like of any of the countries, and there is very much a skater skating to music from my country, I don't think that you should be restricted to only music or aesthetics that are of your nationality, because that gets really weird real quick. Now, if you're a white person doing memoirs of a geisha dressed like a little geisha with a little red lipstick, by all means, we know why that's bad and weird and wrong. But that's more about the cultural implications above, like, oh, here is what culture this is representing, right? Because a TV show, let's say, could be, I don't know, could be Hungarian, but it's just that's the country of origin, and who's to say that you can't skate to the music as opposed to, you know, actively appropriating and maybe somehow misunderstanding, say, a cultural practice or a dance that has context that you don't get to. Like, if someone came out and did a haka as a figure skating performance, I'd be like, can we maybe not? But skating to like music from, like, for example, like a contemporary New Zealand artist, like, why not? Like, there's differences, you know.
You mean like Lord?
yes.
If you do tennis court, that's not the same as doing a haka is the main takeaway here.
Wow. Oh, God, I've talked myself into it. Look, we're going to talk about Bulgarian folklore music in a minute, and I'll tell you that I'm also fine with that. Spoiler alert.
I just
want
to make sure nobody canceled me for things that I articulated poorly in my brain fog. But no, I think it's a cool program for her because she did the Hitchcock thing. She does all the weird, spooky girl stuff, and I think it works. And I think
it's very,
it's also
like, genuine when she does it. I feel like you can really tell that she's enjoying the weird shit, and I like that.
Yeah,
I like that it's
out.
Her branding. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. Like, you can tell she wants to tell a story and break the mold and do something weird. And she's doing it really well and thoughtfully. And it doesn't feel like, oh, we're just doing this as a cover up for the fact that she can't move gracefully. Because she can, because her free skate is a kind of a more traditional, like, prettier princess vibe. It's still kind of, like, dark, edgy. But, you know, she's doing movements that are more like classical dancey, and I think she's doing them well. I think she is very graceful. She just has kind of a quirky personality. She's just not like other girls.
She is not like other girls. My only critique, and I don't even care about her Barbie hands, my only critique is that she needs to either step away from the blue eyeshadow or get access to a YouTube tutorial that tells her how to blend it out. Because as someone who has been where she is, in terms of performing in bright blue eyeshadow at age like 17, 18, she will regret this. And I just want someone to help her because the free skate dress is so gorgeous. And you can tell that she found a blue eyeshadow and was like, gorgeous, this matches closely enough. It's perfectly fine. It upsets me. And that sounds catty. I understand I sound like a little mean girl, but I will, when this episode comes out, I will tweet a picture of me at her age performing in a musical in high school wearing electric blue eyeshadow to prove that I'm speaking from experience here, that this is something fixable and should be fixed.
I don't disagree necessarily in this case, but I do think one of my most controversial takes that could potentially be a friendship ender between us is that I really don't care about blending out eyeshadow, and I think it looks fine when you don't. And I think that, like, I
agree. Like, look, again, I'm a drag artist. Lord knows that I do terrible things with eyeshadow. It's about context. And in this case, the context is this beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous program with this beautiful, sparkly dress. There is a different way to do the thing that is this, that is that. Like, if you're doing a disco program, by all means.
It's not intentional, yeah. Like, it doesn't seem intentional.
Yeah, no, it just, it just seems like she doesn't know how to blend out eyeshadow, and also that's the wrong kind of blue for the purposes of this.
My take on the eyeshadow, which, like, it doesn't actually matter because it's eyeshadow, but it does matter, but it doesn't, but it does, whatever. I felt like I agree with you that it wasn't executed in the way that she was probably going for, but I felt like it did have intentionality, but it just, like, it also wasn't necessarily bold enough to be like, what is it that is that Raja said, the garage doors or the thing with the
it wasn't garage doors enough. It feels like
I felt like it wanted to be, but it wasn't enough was my take on it. So I was like, push it harder, but push it in one direction or another. She will. She's an edgy envelope pusher on the ice. And one day that will get to the makeup. That's secondary. That's like,
I'm not bullying this bronze medalist. I just, you know, it's the second time we've seen it because we haven't mentioned that she wasn't even supposed to skate at this event, and then she ended up winning a medal. She only found out that she was skating there on like the 5th or something, so she literally had like a week to prepare herself after Luna withdrew officially. So there's a lot to comment here, and I'm clearly just finding a teeny tiny thing to be nitpicky about, but obviously
it's not really a criticism
success
of her. It's more
about
makeup.
Yeah, it's something I know, so I can talk about that way more than other things.
Exactly. I think that her storyline of wasn't supposed to be here and then won a medal is one of my favorite things that can happen in a GP. Like, I love when that happens. It's my favorite. And it's like, partially because it's like, ooh, a surprise, a twist, right? We love that as human beings. But also because it's always a little bit like, well, what now? To like whatever Fed was almost not going to send you. And I love being like bitchy to authority.
This is all about being punk, actually. We keep coming back to Raja. This is all about being punk rock, actually. Unironically, I think this, I mean, it's a little too late in the Grand Prix series for this to make much of any difference in the math, unless some insane shit goes down, which I can't even begin to think about final predictions before we see what happens this week. But it's certainly making a statement for Euros. She doesn't really necessarily need to make a statement for Italian nationals, which she has won 3 times, but she was silver last year. And that's something. she could very much be making a statement that she's back in incredible form. Who knows?
Who's to say? But yeah, I really look forward to seeing
truly
where she goes from here. Like, it's just really cool when you see somebody who's been around for a while but a little bit like up and coming finally break into, oh, we're in medalist contention.
Yes.
Where are we going to go from here? Are they going to be a name in the mix more often now? Like, that's always an exciting step to see a skater take. So we're happy for Lara.
Agreed. And then in second place, with like the tiniest difference between second and first, we have to say that it was 0.26 between second and first, which, my God, I bet you feel emotions about that one way or the other. But in silver, we have Reino Matsuike, which is awesome because she's once again done one of those things where her short program, she was in fourth, and then she just skated the shit out of that free skate, and she was technically first in the free, and the math worked out in the way that it did.
I love her. Reino Matsuike, what a dream. I mean, I can't tell if she's just not a fan of the short program as a concept and is just more comfortable in the free, or if she needs a different program.
I don't know, because
it's very bizarre to me that
program.
She's like a completely different skater.
Yeah, I don't know. She's been using this program. It's her second, I was going to say semester. It's her second season using this program. So I would assume if it was the matter of like, I hate this short program and it's not working for me and I need to change it, you would change it before you enter your second season with it, you know? So I doubt it's that. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe she has more time to lock in the free.
Either way, this free is like to die for, and I can't get over it. It's like an all-timer.
Yeah, agreed. It's perfect. And I feel like you can really, obviously, like, we don't know her, we haven't spoken to her, but I feel like you can really see that she's enjoying it as well and that it has clicked. And that's also always delightful to see from any skater, is when that connection to the music is like so abundantly clear, and like you can really see that work has already been done and she just gets to enjoy it and skated so incredibly good every time. I just want her to have the two solid programs, because she could be taking home so many golds, and I feel like it's those short programs that keep getting in the way a little bit.
Yeah, and like she, you mentioned her connection to the music, and like I think that's even more commendable because it's this kind of, it's just like pretty instrumental music. And usually, I've said before, it bothers me that skaters tend to see that kind of music as just backdrop for whatever. And she is just like so connected and locked into it.
Yeah.
Her skating is so beautiful. Her edges, like, it just, she has some of the most beautiful edges in the sport. She makes me want to go, like, get back into skating, because I know I'm never going to be like a big jumper or whatever, but like having nice edges is something I could work on. So she really inspires me. I think she could be like really good for the sport in terms of like accessibility for people who don't know anything about the technical side of it, because you can just see, like, she's just got a beautiful classic form.
Agreed. I don't know what else I want to say about her, because with two silvers as of right now, she should be basically guaranteed final, right? Let me open up. Why am I predicting?
Yeah, I don't know if she's guaranteed, but she's absolutely in the mix, like, very solidly.
Let me see, because YouTube, the thing tells you.
I think there's
this.
A couple of obscure scenarios that, like, could happen.
So yeah. She's not a shoo-in just yet, but she should be fine. The math, she's a queen of the math working out in her favor. And I feel like it should, barring like some complete insanity happening in China this week, she should also be good for the final.
I can't wait. I love it when people, like, I love it when the final has people in it that I wouldn't have necessarily predicted at the start of the season. That's what I always want.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we always like unpredictability, and we like when something is surprising and when there is a little bit of an upset. What is not an upset at all is that Hana Yoshida took this home. She was first in the short, second in the free, and with 0.26. I'm not going to stop harping on it. It worked out in her favor and she took home gold. And that guarantees her final. She is 100% going to the final. How exciting is that?
It is. I love her so much. I want her to know how much I love her. But she speaks fluent English, so I'm sure I could email her or something. I don't know. People are emailing people they don't know in this day and age. But I just love her programs. Like we've said before, I love her, her whole deal, her whole style. I think the only upset for me was that she, as you said, won by so little.
Yeah.
And I guess I question the strategy behind the triple axel attempts because I know that it was so solid. Like I saw it with my own naked eyeballs at Worlds. I saw her land it. I forget if she did it in the program, but I know I saw her land one during warmups.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like so much more consistent. Or sorry, it just feels like it's not been there as consistently this year. Mm. And I wonder if her scores could be higher if she was just throwing down like a really gorgeous double axel. I don't really know. I we'd have to ask our friends at Skating Scores about that. But
I respect her keeping it in the repertoire. Like if it's something that she clearly wants to keep bringing, and now that she's heading into the final, and obviously the implications that that has heading into potentially Worlds, although no one knows what happens at Japanese Nationals, you know, that could change things. But if she wants to be kept in this conversation where she's a big time like gold medalist at a Grand Prix and going to the final, I respect her trying it because I'd rather, like if I were her, I would rather see how it happens at Finlandia compared to the final. Like it gives you one more like, well, that didn't quite work out. Let's like keep working on it kind of thing.
I agree. And I think that Amber has set a really fantastic example for the girls who are like trying the triple axel, which is that it's not one of those, oh, you have to, if you either have it or you don't, and there's no point trying if you don't have it perfect, because Amber had to try for so many seasons to get it landed in a competition, but now she does. And so.
And now it's allegedly her most solid jump, which.
Yeah.
Insane.
So because she, you know, God willing, will also maybe be in the final. We could potentially have two triple axels in the Grand Prix final.
Yep. Wow. That's going to be, it's going to be something. I'm not going to think about the final just now because it gives me stress hives.
Yeah. One thing I want to say about Hana Yoshida is that she also apparently was disappointed to hear that Isabeau and Luna were not going to be there, which is kind of adorable because that's, I mean, the second they pull out, she's like pretty much the heavy favorite to win.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really sweet that she was like, oh no, but like that would have been fun to compete against them.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I guess you get used to or kind of start expecting certain people and you kind of prepare your head around what that would be like. So I guess if I were any skater and I heard that the list has ever so slightly changed, I'd be like, but why? Like I was prepared for this and this scenario and now something different is happening. But that might just be my own neurodivergencies, let's say. I don't know.
I mean, maybe, but I do think
it's
interesting. Like it is interesting how I'm sure that it does factor in a very practical way of like planned program content and stuff. And I think it's sweet. I also think it's like kind of badass because I like it when a competitor admits that they prefer a challenge and like they prefer to be skating against competitors who could beat them or might even likely beat them. I'm not saying that Luna or Isabeau were likely to beat Hana. I think that it would have been kind of like anybody's game. But I do think that it just, to me, shows, like, a level of confidence that I think is really cool and sexy.
Agreed. I don't know if I have anything else to say. I continue to love the short program very much. It makes me feel things, and it makes me filled with a national pride that I didn't expect from a Japanese skater, but here I am.
Hana Yoshida should get some kind of award from, like, the Bulgarian government.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. No. No, she doesn't need to deal with any of our bureaucracy or figure skating ins and outs. I've claimed her as one of ours, and I'm that's it. She's this is the reward he's getting is she's been officially claimed.
I do sometimes feel like, as long as we're discussing like appropriation, sometimes I feel like Japan gets like maybe like 10% more leeway in terms of like emulating other cultures because they've had to put up with so much like people emulating Japan.
I agree, but also like in this particular case, there is nothing about this that like nothing in her costuming reminds me of like traditional Bulgarian folk costume. Like none of it's just the music. And obviously it has been like taken through the watchful eye of Christopher Tin, who is American as well. So there's like so many, and like his parents are from Hong Kong. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. So there's like so many degrees of how do we get from, you know, this Chinese American composer doing something with Bulgarian folk music in it so that then a French choreographer can give it to a Japanese skater so that I can bitch about it. Like, it's so... We're all citizens of the world, all of that.
We're all citizens of the world. You know what's funny, too, is that I realized that when I made that comment, I realized I had made a logical leap in my head that I didn't speak out loud. So thank you, not taking ADHD medication. But take your medications, everybody. But the reason that I came to that was because you had said that you claimed her as one of your own. And I was in my head thinking, like, yes, it's like how Kazuki Tomono is Irish. And yes. I was like, yeah, that's obviously a little bit more like whatever, but I don't care. Japanese people are allowed to do river dance.
Anyone can do a river dance because it makes me happy. I'm not an authority on that in any way, shape, or form. I also don't want to bring up Bulgaria's own Alexandra Fagan because I don't particularly care about her whole deal right now. But she is currently also working with Benoit as her choreographer, and it's really funny that Benoit... with the team and everything, I'm sure, ended up suggesting Bulgarian music to Hannah. Meanwhile, Sasha is skating to, like, Game of Thrones and the Beatles. I'm like, okay, so we're not, like, nationality is not coming into play when those choices get made. And I'm thrilled. Honestly, like, this choreo, like, I'd be pissed if it was anyone but Hannah doing it, so...
Yeah, same. And like, as we've talked about before, like, it does tend to seem like Benoit has an idea and then like kind of just assigns it to a skater and it doesn't really have a ton to do with the skater, which is like good and bad. I would argue mostly bad, but good in cases like this where like you respect the chaos. Like, I would rather see in this case Hana Yoshida doing this than you know, whatever.
Agreed. Completely agreed. We got to talk about men.
We do. Benoit Richelle will be our bridge into talking about men.
Okay. Nothing I can say is for this podcast, which my mom listens to. So here's the thing. Here's the thing about men at Finlandia Trophy. You can go back and listen to us from like 2 weeks ago when we were young and brave and we were like, there's no telling what will happen. And there are so many things that are possible. This is the bad place. Aside from Yuma, who, spoiler alert, won just about barely, with way less of a margin than he should have. This is the bad place. This is the bad place, and here's why.
Yeah, in third place is... Daniel Grassel, who won the free skate.
Who won the free skate somehow with that fucking concept of a free... I've run out of jokes.
I haven't because here's the tea. I realized that we spent so long on Billy Elliot last time we talked about him that we did not even scrape the surface of the fucking short program with the question mark hand, with the Zero Wolf Moon shirt.
I genuinely forgot about the question mark hand until it was happening to me again this week.
And can we have to say, like, if the question mark hand was really far down the list of things we needed to talk about, like, that he's really making a splash, man.
Yeah, God, the haters are out there to get him, and they have forgotten about the hand, which I do want to say if you were like a drag king performing Question of You and you had that and you were doing a sassy little wrist flick at every question with the question mark, I would still think it's a little bit too on the nose, but I would get it. I would respect it. I would be like, okay, there's been a vision. In Chopin's Nocturne? Why? Why this? Why any of this? See, this is, maybe that's the questions. Maybe that's, maybe he knew.
Maybe. Why this? I love that it, like, my joke that I wanted to make that I didn't put on my public Twitter because I knew that people would misunderstand and rip me through the coals was, if you're going to do a wrist flick with a question mark on your hand, it's like, this is what the questioning in LGBTQ stands for. Back when people used to say Q was questioning. But he's not questioning. It's fine.
I did say that on Twitter, and I was ready to bear the consequences. There are too many evil European gays on this podium. I can't.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, like, mad respect to anybody who's going to be out in a homophobic sport, like, irregardless.
God, yes. Said, my God,
wait,
yes.
Wait, talking of evil, I just said irregardless. Is that that's not a word, you, is it?
It is a word. It is a word. That's allowed. You can say irregardless.
Sure? Are you sure? Anyway, this has brought out the worst in me. So
irregardless is very much a word, and it very much means regardless. It's one of those things where they should mean the opposite things, but it originated in the mid-19th century, and it was probably a blend of irrespective and regardless.
Maybe I was thinking of irrespective as a separate word. I don't know, but irrespectless.
I'm completely respectless here.
How about that full blade assist that didn't get called ever?
I can't, man. Like, we all have eyes. We all have eyes. We all have
even
eyes.
Even if you didn't, because, like, there's a wide spectrum of people's abilities to see clearly.
God,
or
yes.
Not. But you could feel it in your soul. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could close your eyes and feel that in your soul that he picked with his entire blade and rotated half of it on the ice before taking off.
You can also, it was very beautifully brought up in the commentary as well, which I enjoy greatly. Even if it's like a, well, you make your own choices kind of deal with all of his beautiful, beautiful quads that are definitely real jumps, that are definitely four times around on everything. I do want to say I was not, you know, making presumptions about people with vision issues and impairments enjoying our beautiful sport. I do want to say you can also hear it in the takeoff and delay. Like, you can listen to how it doesn't sound the way a quad should sound. We've all been experiencing this sport for entirely too long. We you know what a crisp takeoff and a good sharp edge landing sounds like.
It's just like, why are they not calling it? Like, I don't understand. He doesn't skate for Atari anymore, so whatever she's doing to, like, make the judges be her friend is like, well, how is that still working for him? He's not even skating for her anymore.
I mean, not that we know of. Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but, like, we don't know who's friends with whom, where and how and why.
I love Mark and Reddy, and I think it's really funny that he brought up approximately 17,000 times the missed doping test. Just think that that's a really funny thing that happened.
I respect him so much, and I was very much encouraging him to speak on it on the internet, because I do think that even if this thing is technically in the past now, we should be remembering what sort of character we're dealing with.
Yeah, and, like, if Daniel's story is to be believed, it was literally just, like, an executive function fuck-up of fucked-up paperwork and everything, which, like, I can relate to, but at the same time, like, I don't think that you can give it a pass, because even if he literally never doped and it was just a mix-up, I still think you kind of do need to maintain this culture of total, like, a zero tolerance and kind of shaming, or else it's gonna, like, creep in.
Agreed.
I don't know.
If anything, like, I'm not Catholic, so I'm not here to suggest that he should be, like, ashamed or express, like, guilt about any of it. But I do think that if it was, like, like, things were so messed up with different coaches and I was traveling so much and, like, I've made sure it's never going to happen again, blah, 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 blah. Even that attitude, I would, like, still respect a little more than, like, the haters said I couldn't make it. Like, calm down. Like, I don't know. I just think he's being a little too, like, it's me against the world. It's like, nobody, like, you did an oopsie and it was bad and we don't like your attitude about it.
Yeah. Having said that, you did mention Catholicism, and one important thing that has happened since the last time we recorded is that we've both seen Conclave.
Conclave, picture of the year. I'm not even joking.
Not even joking. I literally, the second the credits rolled, I had to take out my phone and tweet best picture. Like, I had to. I was there. I was in the theater alone, so I had no one to say it to. I want to talk about this for a second instead of Daniel Grassl, because... Okay.
I mean, technically Italian, okay.
Italian. That's something. Italian. Italy adjacent. So I want to say that I think that we need to see some Conclave skating programs. I think we need to see... priests, more priests on ice, more cardinals on ice. I want to see a vaping priest on ice, and I want to see an ice dance team, maybe Piper and Paul be Ray Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini, but like Cundy.
Yes.
Nun and priest. Like, that would also be a fun one for one of the brother sister teams to do, because it's like inherently unsexual.
Well, we also Conclave.
I would argue, I do not think there was sexual tension between Isabella Rossellini and Ray Fiennes in Conclave, but your mileage may vary on that one.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Is it Rafe or Ralph? Am I saying it wrong?
It's Rafe.
I thought it was Rafe too, because for a long time I thought his name was Ray, like Ray Charles.
No, it's Rafe. Would it be sacrilegious? And the answer is yes, but I want it anyway. If Paul Poirier skated as Ray Fiennes and Conclave, full cardinal get up, slutty open back.
No, that's true to the spirit of the film.
If the cardinals can vape, they can have an open back cardinal dress, whatever it's called. Toga.
Bro. I saw the movie and I still don't know what it's called. I think it's a transible, or is that different? I don't know if
I don't know. Like, so I know the Bulgarian word, but I don't know what it's called in English. Anyway, one of those, but with a beautiful open back.
Yeah, like it's just not closed in the back. And like, I feel like Junwon could also pull off a similar thing, but it would have like a lace panel.
Like some beautiful like red lace. Some like cathedral shaped. Oh my god. Okay, I'm taking you on a walk. We're already not talking about figure skating, so we're gonna talk about this. The Boulay brothers, for those of y'all who don't know, are a drag performing duo who they host a TV show on Shudder, which is a very niche streaming platform. It's functionally Drag Race for weird drag. All this to say, in their most recent episode, and I'll send you a picture of it right now, they wore this outfit, because they always dress the same way. They wore those gorgeous gowns, which have like cathedral shaped lacing. Yes, there we go. I'm sending you the pics right now, and I'll retweet them on Podmain when the time comes. Imagine this cathedral embroidery, but it's a figure skating dress, or, you know, slutty back panel.
Now, let me take you on a further walk back to figure skating. Imagine this detailing on a costume on Donovan Curio as Cardinal Benitez.
Oh my god. I'm into it.
Instead of anything else, can we just cast Conclave on ice and like
just Conclave on ice? See, the thing is, realistically,
Jean Torvill as Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's gonna have to be like a bunch of older guys, and by a bunch of older guys I mean get like Johnny and Stefan in there to like queen off, because like the whole thing
is
bunch of queens queening off, right?
Yes,
and we do that. Wait, but
I love this,
but it's like fucking P. Chitty is there selling real estate in a cathedral. I don't know, I'm sure there's a room in the Vatican that needs to be rented out.
This is the best idea we've ever had. I can't get over it.
Just get, like, not even, like, the oldest guard. Get, like, people who are currently coaches and choreographers to queen out in Conclave on Ice, in which everyone wears beautiful Brilliant Brothers-inspired embroidery cardinal dresses that we don't know the names of. Also, Pope Rory is there because I've decided we need him. That's it.
Yeah, and everybody involved, like every time every priest goes up to go put their ballot in, they just do like a beautiful triple axel on the way up.
Oh my god, like the cunty like walk to the thing with like your vote up, but you're like doing spins and jumps as you're walking up.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that wasn't in the movie, to be honest. I would have liked the more of a runway element.
Yeah, you know that play, what is it, Sheer Madness?
Yes, I've seen Sheer Madness.
What if it's that? What if it's Conclave on Ice, but a select...
But new Pope every time.
But new Pope every time, but like VIP tickets. We sell VIP tickets, they're extremely, extremely expensive. They're like $700, and there's like 50 of them. And the people with those tickets get to... vote for Pope based on how the like queen off skate off is going.
Okay, this is like transcended into an unbelievable idea that we have to do, because I'm like not even joking. This is something I want to attend more than anything I've ever wanted in my life.
Conclave on Ice with a interactive element with the audience.
It's like, yeah, interactive Conclave on Ice in the style of the new Gay Cat.
Oh my god, this is too much. If you're listening and you happen to be a producer with a lot of money, please.
Yeah,
this concludes our pitch.
Yeah, this is our pitch. Anyway, Kevin A. Moss won silver.
Kevin A. Moss won silver and is going to the final.
Which is fine. Like, he did a good job.
He did a good job. If I have to see Silvia Fontana experience happiness one more time this year, I'm going to be kind of done. So I need him to flop. Like, sorry to keep bringing up Drag Race references and like drag culture references, but you know when All Stars 1, when they're arguing, and then I think it's Yara goes, well, somebody has to go home first. Mm-hmm. Hoping Kevin is functionally that for the final. Someone has to be in sixth place in the final.
I controversially would rather see it be Grassl. Is Grassl going to the final?
Well, he's not. He's on the fence yet. So I'm hoping by some miracle of God, we don't even get that. If it's that, I would have Grassl in sixth, because at least Kevin's programs are not criminal. A lot of other shit he's done is criminal. His team is full of criminals. His programs, fine.
Yes. And that's cool. That's cool that they're good. And that's it most, I don't know, we're saying intelligent and thoughtful things today. They're fine. We'll see.
I'm not saying shit about shit because I...
As always, I enjoy watching him skate and I wish I knew less about him and his circle. And that's just like the long and short of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the magic got lost like a couple seasons back, even before I knew anything about him or his coaching team, which he has very staunchly stood by, which yell and evil and gross. But I feel like all the way back, like the first question of you, like anything post like horns, like the past like 3 or 4 seasons have just not clicked for me. It keeps feeling like something about it is trying to capture that original magic of what was undeniably incredible about his skating, like in the horns era. And I don't know, it makes me sad to see, like, the chasing of that, plus knowing that it comes from a deeply disingenuous place by virtue of who the fuck is behind it. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
I mean, I think there is something to the... It is clockable when somebody innovates and then kind of gets a lot of attention for it and then proceeds to try to recapture that attention over and over again, not by continuing to innovate, but by continuing to just harp on the one
do the same thing
they did that one time. Yeah. It's like not quite right. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it happens.
I mean, I think that's it. I think that's literally it. Like, I don't care to see him doing a cartwheel into a funky little pose in the middle of a very emotional program in the year of the Lord 2024. Like, it tells me nothing. It tells me nothing new. It doesn't show any, like, growth.
To be fair, I don't ever want to see anyone do a cartwheel ever, unless it's one of my nieces and my sister is sending me a video of them doing a cartwheel. I want to see every video of my nieces doing a cartwheel. I don't want to see ice skating cartwheels ever. I don't care.
Yeah. Even when it's someone I like, I'm like, do we need this? And we usually don't. But yeah, that kind of is where I'm at. He is going to the final. I applaud, genuinely, completely, hand to Jesus Christ, applaud his therapist and sports therapist and whoever else is working with him. Because they've done a lot of work this summer, and we can see that. And I suggest moving on to his interpersonal relationships next and figuring out why those are the way they are.
Yeah, but speaking of his interpersonal relationships, I will say, like, in a total vacuum, I did think it was nice to see Mark just, like, acknowledge, like, yo, and his boyfriend is here. And, like, I don't know, it was just nice to hear, like, a normalization of being out and queer and being like, that's nice, that's supportive, whatever. Like, that just felt like we've come a long way in a relatively short time.
Oh,
and,
for sure, like, yes.
It's not to say that it excuses anything or that all gay people are good people because we, you know, whatever, but...
yep, no.
No comment, but...
yeah. Anyway...
Anyway, shall we talk about Yuma?
I would love to talk about Yuma Kageyama, a man who rightfully, even though he was fifth in the free, speaking of the math having to do its fucking job.
I mean, I understand that his jumps were not there for him in the free as consistently, but I also do feel that his PCS was too low compared to the others in this event. Like, kind of always, but especially in this event. He's bringing, like, Reno Matsuike levels of edges and control and beauty. Mm. And I don't really get how it's getting lost and not getting, like, an unbelievable amount of leg up on everyone else who doesn't have that control.
I genuinely don't know. I feel like the judges just kind of stop watching when a jump goes sideways. And it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter that you're literally an Olympic silver medalist. The second they don't see a jump go the way that it, quote-unquote, should, it's kind of like, well, now everyone's PCS is in the dumps about this. Yeah, I'm looking at... I've opened the protocols because I like hurting myself. And this tech panel was honestly kind of tough on everyone.
Except Daniel Grasso,
but I just kind of skimmed past that because I do value my brain cells. But giving Yuma Kageyama a fucking, like, 7.5 in PCS, that's for composition, which I guess is not all, like, his fault. But, like, one of those judges just had it fucking out for him. Like, they gave him a 7.5 composition, 7.75 presentation in 8.00 skating skills, which same judge, I'm not gonna say which judge, gave Daniel Grasso they gave Grasso 7.75 composition, 8.25 presentation, and an 8 in skating skills. I guess they just didn't enjoy most of this. Makes you wonder why this is their job.
You know what? Speaking of, though, I do think I don't know if anybody is still on our figure skating on the Reddit. I'm actually not, but friend of the pod Jules sent it to me a link to it specifically an article slash like study results thing that somebody had posted that for their I forget if it was at what level of education it was, like college or postgrad or grad school, I don't remember, but somebody did a statistical analysis on basically like home cooking, like how much is how much is the are the judges like biased towards their own skaters. And I think that the sample of programs that they the sample of competitions they selected to analyze were a little funky in that, I don't know, I think a bigger sample size could have been used. And I think that in general, 2021 is a weird year to analyze because of the pandemic. And yeah, at least one of the competitions was 2021. I remember that season being like a little fucking odd.
Oh, yeah.
But in general, their conclusion was that it's demonstrably that bias is real, and also kind of hilariously, like, strongly indicates that Japan was like very, very, very seriously home cooking for Yuzuru Hanyu, which is really funny because not that he doesn't deserve it, but people were always just accusing Japan of underscoring him, and it's like, no, baby, they were doing a lot. They were doing a lot for him, and they were, again, not that he didn't deserve it, but.
Yeah, we legally have to say that he deserves every single point he's ever gotten, and also maybe a couple hundred more, just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure you all know where I live. So for the sake of please don't dox our houses, world's biggest meow meow, he's always earned everything in the world. God, I sound so bitter. I actually love this man, and the internet has made me sound like this.
He... above basically, I mean, I could think of a few people, but he's at the top of my list to call for Conclave on Ice, because you know that man is going to bring a level of high drama to Catholicism that only a very, very like flamboyant Japanese man could bring.
Yes. I mean, he is for sure. God, now we have to sit down and release our official cast list for Conclave on Ice. Do you think we can expense going to see Conclave again? As a company expense.
Oh, 100%. And also, I think maybe Patreon needs to just be us performing Conclave on Ice.
Oh my god, yes. This month's Patreon stream will be kind of talking about honorable mentions of those two events that have passed. But also, I guess, Conclave on Ice.
I will play the role of the Pope who dies immediately, because I will die immediately when I get back on the ice, because it's been like 3 years.
But... god. I am competing in 2 weeks somehow.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm competing. I'm doing the same program. I may or may not be making a new dress. I told my coach that I wanted a new dress, and she scowled in such a way that someone across the ring asked what's wrong. So I might be keeping the dress. I don't know. Is this an episode?
I think so. I just want to shout out a couple of plushies, as I always do.
Yes.
Camden received a pumpkin both times. Camden received a pumpkin in the short and a pumpkin in the free, but the second time,
which I respect
crucially,
so
he also
much.
Got, I do, and he hugged it. It was, like, perfect. And then the second time, crucially, he also received a banana man.
I was very moved by the banana man. I was confused by it, but I also made a note about it, and I don't usually note plushies.
Yeah, and you can also be confused with me about the red bird that says Sota, that Sota Yamamoto always has. Does he have his own personal mascot?
I hope he does. I hope that's what this is. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, Gen 1 got a raccoon, and Maimihara got a hippo, and Sarah Everhart also got a hippo. Let's see. Hana got a very cozy looking pink Minnie Mouse pillow, which I think she earned a little nap on. But what I really want to talk about is the Hana Yoshida Snorlax purse.
Yes.
The Snorlax purse. The Snurse. The Snurse, mama. I looked up the Snurse, and you can find it on a shady website that I don't know where it's shipping from for like $25. You just have to Google Snorlax purse and scroll through some options till you find the one. I need the Snorlax purse. I think everybody needs the Snorlax purse. And it could not have gone to a more deserving individual. Again, I love that there's sort of a sleeping theme to her plushies. I hope that she gets some rest and then wakes up and is like, oh my god, I have a gold medal and a Snorlax purse. This is the best life.
Yeah, wow. I hope she put the gold medal in the nurse.
Oh my god, or like she put this nurse around her neck as a medal with the also the gold medal. There's so many options. There's so
or
many
you could put like, the medal on Snorlax, technically, I guess.
She could, I mean, I don't want her to retire. I want her to go to the final and do an amazing job. But if she wanted to retire right now, she would have a full and busy life for the rest of her life just coming up with different ways to pose with this nurse and the medal.
Oh my god, this has been an episode which we made. Hey, if you're listening to this, thank you so very much. Thank you for spending an hour of your time with us and wherever the winding paths of our brains take us. And now I want to, very specifically, Megan, can you hit me with the list of the cardinals who will vote on who gets to host this podcast when we get back on the ice and inevitably die in the event of Conclave on Ice, aka our Patreon patrons?
We're sending up a plume of white smoke for Jules, Madison, Cricket, Brooke, Michelle, Laura, T, Christine, Elise, Rhea, Elizabeth, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Samira, Joseph KM, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan.
Thank you guys so very much. I would vote for any one of you to be Pope, but I would have to hear your arguments first. We'll be back literally so soon to cover the Cup of China and back in your years with the inevitable aftermath of people qualifying for the final at some point in the next week. Also, Patreon patrons, keep an eye out for an announcement for when we're doing this month's stream, in which we will present the entirety of Conclave on Ice, apparently.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys so very much. We'll see you very soon. Love you. Bye.